Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and insert random opening line here.
God damn it. I'm Pippin, and I am always right all the time. Fuck you.
Sure you are.
For varying definitions of right.
There you go.
I'm Alex, and I'm bound to the creative samsara.
Wow. Classing it up here, Al.
God damn it.
And I'm Kat, and I have my writing notebook and handy little pen ready to go.
What? You gonna write some things down?
Perhaps? I'm gonna write some things down. Maybe think about some titles. Maybe put all the tropes into a thing so that I can remember what we say.
What?
Put some tropes in a thing. Whoa.
We're gonna take notes?
I'm taking some fucking notes.
God damn, what are you even doing? We do half remembered shit like professionals.
All professionals work this way. Don't dissuade our audience otherwise.
You know what we need? We need one of the most giant and bingo ball roller earth with his tropes written on them.
Okay. So, anyway, on point here. Today, we're once again playing the long-form game that we like to call the Wheel of Tropes.
Wheel we'll be tropes.
Wheel of Tropes.
Sorry.
I, too, saw that sketch.
Yes. So we'll be selecting tropes at random to construct a group story live on air. If you want specific content warnings, well, you're just going to have to check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com.
We can't give you content warnings because we don't know the content yet.
What content?
Oh, except for strong language.
Oh, yeah, no, strong language. If you haven't noticed already, we're fucked about that.
Yeah. Also, unicorn murder. Just, that's going to happen.
Way too much unicorn murder in this podcast.
Listen, if it happens to us when we're, like, 11, it can happen to us at any time.
What happened when we were 11?
What happened when you were 11?
Harry Potter.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, like, I remember, like, I'm usually the one in charge of the horrifying childhood stories that you guys have conveniently forgotten. But that one, I got nothing.
I was going to say, we were 11 at the same time. I feel like I would have known about this. So
what we're going to be doing here, each of us is going to be hitting a random kind of trope or story generator of our choice. I'm, for instance, going to be using the old reliable TV tropes because I'm a creature of habit.
As am I.
Losers. I'm sorry, what?
But Alex, what are you going to use?
Mystery?
Nice.
I don't know.
Well, okay. I was going to make Kat be the odd one out.
Ha ha.
Well, I don't know what Kat's using, so.
Her fucking tarot deck.
Yeah, I am. Okay, thanks for spoiling the grand surprise, Pip. Listen, we used a lot of tools, but you can use just about anything to help generate stories. So to demonstrate the principle, I will be using tarot cards from my Rider-Waite deck from when I was going through my Wiccan stage at 13.
Yes, that's the important part of any young girl's childhood. Her Wiccan stage.
Do we not all do that? Anyway.
Oh, no. I remember my tarot deck.
Do you not have it anymore?
No, I lost it, and it lost one of the cards in it. When you lose one of the cards, the whole thing's useless.
See, I just have my illustrated guide to Star Wars vehicles and droids and all that other stuff. It was fun.
And it told your future, too.
It did.
You were a nerd like her father before you.
Okay, so
I know we have what to use now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you going to keep it a surprise, Al? You going to keep us in suspense?
I'm keeping it a surprise. I just have to figure out how to use it.
Well, okay.
That's not concerning.
Man, now I feel like I should change the Evil Overlord generator or something.
You can if you want to.
Join us!
God damn it. All right.
And I guess, Pip, are you going to be using the Evil Overlord list?
Yeah, let me see if I can find the generator.
Right on, right on. Well, believe it or not, I hit the random trope generator here on TV Tropes, and I think it's a good way to start us off here, because this is going to be dramatically different than our last Wheel of Trope story already.
Oh, no.
Where we had our sci-fi story, right?
Yeah.
Because the trope that I landed on right off the bat is deconstructive parody.
I'm in love.
Yeah, this is right up my alley.
So ooh. What is a deconstructive parody?
Most parodies work in a lighthearted manner, taking the basic plot and of the thing that they parody and making it humorous. The deconstructive parody plays exactly like any other deconstruction, in that everything is treated as if it were to really happen. It's just that the humor is still drawn from the original story, while also serving to show what would really happen. So basically, taking a parody story and playing it straight.
Is there an example? I'm not sure I'm following.
There's a Terry Pratchett quote.
Oh, yeah, go for it. We love Terry Pratchett here.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for easy laughs, you learn that two well-tried ways are either to trip up a cliche or take things absolutely literally. Okay, so here's an example. They have like a picture on here. You know how there's the trope of not looking at explosions as they go off behind you?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the deconstructive parody, the explosion happens and then, you know, they have like all the bones broken in their body going like, yeah, worth it.
Oh, I
that was so
see.
Cool.
Okay.
So it's still played for laughs, but the humor is just the fact that it's being played serious.
It sounds a lot like the movie Airplane, frankly.
It sounds a lot like Archer.
Oh. Oh, that's nice.
Because you know what Archer has? Tinnitus.
He does have tinnitus.
Mop.
Mop. Mop. Mop. For those at the listening audience, Archer is a actually a really great send-up and very blue send-up of the spy form.
Yeah, especially James Bond era.
Yeah. Oh, so for instance, Archer has all sorts of love affairs with any number of women, and frequently they end up pregnant and he has STDs. So
yeah.
Making martinis and stuff like that, and so he is in fact a barely functioning alcoholic. Humor! I really like the tinnitus example, though, from Archer. Because he's always shooting guns at random. And the answer is if you shoot guns randomly without protective headgear.
It's gonna suck.
Alright.
But anyway, so we have a deconstructive parody. So we're kind of going humorous here as the inspiration.
Well, maybe. Like, it depends. We may decide to shift that to a different thing. But I will admit, this is pretty indicative. This is pretty...
I mean, I feel like you could have a dark parody if you tried.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But wait, let's keep going. Let's see what else we get.
I don't know where we'd put that or slot that in necessarily. Maybe just kind of a setting type of setup.
I'm not sure we explained the slots to the listening audience.
I was about to say, are we still doing that? And if so, what are they? I think that we should, but I don't remember what they are.
From our little cheat sheet here, we have a number of slots we can put our selected trope into. At least in our write-up here, we have setting / world, the protagonist, the protagonist's friends, the antagonist or antagonists, the call to action or inciting incident, complications, the climax, and the resolution. So with a deconstructive parody, where would we slot that, you think?
I do think it goes under setting and world.
Yeah.
It's a parody setting.
All right.
Exactly how that's going to play out, we'll see. It's going to help influence our other choices here.
All right.
So thank you, random selection.
So who's next on the block?
Can I go?
Yeah.
Go sure. for it.
All right. Wheel of Tropes, go, go, go. Show us the story that we should sew.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long are we working on that?
Listen. I randomly thought of it a week ago on the bus, but...
A week ago? Nice.
I wouldn't have remembered that long.
It's like preparation.
I know. I'm impressed. Yeah.
All right. So what are you doing? What's your surprise trope generator?
You guys know a book that each of us has read at least once? The Tough Guide to Fantasyland.
Oh, by Diana Wynne Jones. Excellent.
Yeah. I have a copy. I counted the pages and then, you know, rolled a die.
Okay.
Thank you, rolladie.net. And then I went to a page and I got missing heirs.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm liking this.
Oh, yeah. Missing heirs occur with as great frequency. At any given time, half the countries in Fantasyland will have mislaid their crown prince / princess. But the rule is that only one missing heir can join your tour at a time. Yours will join as a companion, selected from among the child, the talented girl, or the teenage boy. And as part of your quest, you will have to get them back to the kingdom where they belong. For a quick reference for people, Tough Guy to Fantasyland assumes that you are a tourist who is exploring the realms of fantasy.
So Tough Guy to Fantasyland is basically TV Tropes for fantasy books before there was TV Tropes.
Pretty much.
Before the internet.
Yeah.
It's what we were using.
Indeed. So, okay, so missing heir. Where do you think you want to put it?
Well, here's this thing. I think I want to go for a... Yes, I want to be a maverick, putting a missing heir under antagonist.
What?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, this actually could get kind of funny, though.
This could get amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, think about it quickly. Just something like a... Not farm that. For an antagonist missing heir, you have to be of some privileged position, but not privileged enough to be the king. So when he finds out, oh no.
Fucking Claudius.
Yeah.
They misplaced Claudius.
Pretty much. But, what is rightfully mine, I shall have it.
Wait, I'm suddenly thinking off it. Left field. What if Hamlet is the villain of Hamlet?
Hamlet is the villain of Hamlet.
Yeah, he is.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
And he's kind of a missing heir because he wasn't there at the time, being off at college.
Learning about demons and shit. He was at the same college as Faust. You know that they were conjuring shit and making out at 3 in the morning.
How can you do this to Horatio?
Cat, back then everyone went to Wittenberg.
Did they though?
Did
Frankenstein go there?
Oh shit, did he?
That's a good question.
I don't know. It seems like it'd be a place.
Did Van Helsing go there?
It just seems kind of like funny that all these fantasy or classic literature characters even would all go to the same college.
It was the college at the time. It was the college.
Oxford was around. Oxford's been around since before there's fucking England.
The place to be was Wittenberg.
Victor Frankenstein went to the University of Ingolstadt.
Ingolstadt. Oh.
Okay.
So anyway.
Yeah, let's get back to the important thing.
Okay, so we have missing heir. Who's next?
Pip, you or me?
I'll go.
Okay.
So, random plot generator for the evil overlord. Let's see. All right.
The Matthew McConaughey story generator.
You just click it, it just says all right, over and over again.
God, I'd watch that movie.
All right. Advice for the good auxiliary character, innocent bystander. If you associate with the hero, you run the risk of becoming a true love or a sidekick, depending on your availability and mutual gender preferences. The former will involve hostage situations on a regular, semi-regular basis, but changes of survival are optimal. The latter can be quite hazardous to your health, so avoid it.
You could go for the obvious, which is Protag's friends.
I could.
I mean, yeah, I think it makes sense.
But, you know, that's almost a gimme in terms of like, well, that's...
Here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we set it up for a sequel...
Always a good idea.
I can put it in the resolution as a hook.
Ah.
Or it could be the slightly more obvious climax of, you know, what happens at the end that we're all, you know, fixing. But whatever.
Oh.
Where would you like it to go, Pip? Because I have my pen and I'm ready to...
And I have a pineapple.
Do you?
Really?
I have some in the fridge.
Oh my god, I really want.
But I was also referencing a YouTube video.
Oh, it works on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
I am gonna put it.
There's also complications. Just gonna make just making your life more difficult. It could be protagonist. They could be the buddy of the missing heir, and then only find out over the course of the study that of the story that in fact the missing heir is an asshole.
Lovers to enemies.
My favorite trope.
Oh, that could be heartbreaking.
Or hilarious.
And therefore, I love it.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, really?
Oh, I'm here to make people cry.
The best kind of deconstructive parody.
Here's the thing, this is why people should be friends with me, because I will learn the things that make you sad, and I'll go, hey, remember this thing.
Wow.
Pip's evil. We already knew this.
That's true. I've had friends get legit mad at me. Because right, so I reminded them that their favorite character is dead.
Wow. And does that leave me?
Yep.
Yes.
Your turn.
My turn. All right, so...
All right, so
I am shuffling the deck. Who wants to also take this as an opportunity for me to tell their fortunes? That's probably a bad idea when we're doing a when we're doing a parody plot that Pip has already turned into terrible.
Woo!
All right, I cut the deck in three because that's what you learn to do when you're a baby Wiccan. Thank you. Then you forget which way you did it. Excellent.
Also, like you do when you're a baby Wiccan.
Yes, all right. And then we flip over the top card. Ooh, it is the Page of Wands. Reversed. So then you take out the tiny instruction book that comes with your deck. The description is, a young man stands in an act of proclamation. He is unknown but faithful, and his tidings are strange. Now, this is reversed, so it means anecdotes, announcements, evil news. Also, indecision and the instability which accompanies it.
Okay.
So, I'm figuring either the Page of Wands is a character, or I'm going to use this as some shit that happens.
Complications or call to action?
You know, actually, I'm going to make him a friend of the protagonist, because I think it'd be hilarious if, sure, there's a sidekick, the true love person, who does not realize that they're the main character.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You always have to have more people on a trip, don't you? And I would love it if our Page of Wands here was the unhelpful friend. The one who's sitting in the corner being like, mm-hmm, yeah, this will end very well. Like that.
Aww. Like, are they genre savvy? Or is the protagonist genre savvy?
I would say that they're genre savvy, but in an unhelpful way. Mixing my storylines a bit, I see them as one of life's humorous Slytherins. Like, you know what? We're going on this trip. My goal is to be as entertained as possible.
Okay.
I really like that whole vibe of, you know, maybe they go out to get information or whatever, because they actually are friends with the protagonist. But they come back and they're like, well, there's good news and there's bad news. And I'm like, well, what's the good news? The good news is we will not have to spend any money on housing tonight. And that's like the bad news. It's because the town has burned down.
Well, oops.
Went from zero to terrible real fast.
Listen, you started this.
I did. I love it.
Are we good on...
I think we're going to... I've lost my deck.
Page of Wands?
Yep, that's me. What's next?
Okay. So I clicked on a weird one here. Okay. I don't know how this will play in. Badass Santa.
Whoa.
Huh.
Whoa, left field change.
I don't know if we want to keep that or not, because then that kind of pigeonholes us a little bit.
Well, yes and no. We could decide to be like, what is the purpose of Santa?
Well, it's badass Santa.
He's a call to action.
Well,
oh?
Also, Santa as an archetype, not necessarily Santa.
As, yeah. Yeah, because I don't want to be a Christmas story, because that's obnoxious.
Unless you're Terry Pratchett.
I was going to say, the only true Christmas story is the Hogfather.
Which true story, listeners, I read to the twins as children.
And she continues to this day.
So, basically, the trope itself is, if you stop and think about it, Santa Claus isn't much different from Superman. Both have amazing powers that defy the laws of physics as we humans know them. Both can fly around the world with no problem, they both like the color red, and they both have headquarters hidden in the Arctic Circle. So yeah, the idea that Santa's here to bust some anti-Christmas heads, as it were. That being said, I think I kind of like just the... It could be like a call to action or something like that, just...
I have an idea.
What's that? Go for it, Pip, because I'm just vamping here.
Either the hero or the antagonist has a northern base.
Uh-huh.
The way that the antagonist and the protagonist realize that they're not actually on the same side, because they were friends once.
A long time ago, they used to be friends.
They were very close. and the way they figured out is that the protagonist found the evil base when he was trying to location search for his good base.
Oh. Wait, what?
The protagonist was trying to find a location for his secret base for his protagonist ship, and stumbled into the antagonist base.
Which is like, why is this a skull mountain?
Why do we have skulls on our hats?
Are we the baddies?
Welcome to my secret base in Skull Crusher Mountain.
the fact that we mentioned Pratchett earlier, we were referencing the book Hogfather, which actually is, I think, both a deconstructed parody and also brings up Badass Santa, because there's a marked difference between the commercial idea of Terry Pratchett's fantasy version of Santa, which is the Hogfather, and the sort of original, really fucking scary version, which is like, there's a dude who pops up and breaks into houses and, you know, can judge you instantly and then you die. Or get gifts, one or the other. But I also think that, you know, this could be a very, who is the missing heir of?
Wait, could the missing heir is a son of Badass Santa?
Yeah, whatever Badass Santa ends up being.
It could just be like a really beneficial king, almost.
I hate to say it, but
if we're talking fantasy,
I literally just thought of King Jellybean from Rick and Morty. Then the heir discovers at some point during the course of the story that that's who they are meant to be, who they're the child of, or what have you. And then instead of being like, maybe I should be the good version, they're like, I should definitely be the bad version.
Wait, are we gonna end up making Hela from Ragnarok?
Yes!
Maybe.
See, I was wondering if the missing heir was the missing heir of death.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay.
Technically, he was the Hogfather at some point.
Right.
And death can be pretty badass when you actually play it, potentially. Okay, yeah, let's put this in call to action.
Love it. Love it. All right, who's next?
That would be my turn, right?
Yep.
82. Okay.
34. Hike!
Like you know about football.
I can pretend.
I got Towers.
Ooh.
Towers, brooding OMT, dark OMT, I don't know, stand alone in waste areas, and almost always belong to wizards. All are several stories high, round, doorless, virtually windowless, and composed of smooth blocks of masonry that make them very hard to climb. The rule is that there is also a strong no-entry spell, often backed up by a guardian demon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tough Guide to Fantasyland is so fucking great.
Yeah.
Everyone should own a copy.
So, I think I know where our climax is going to occur.
Ah.
In the Tower of Death.
Ooh. I like it. Tower of Death, man.
Yeah, yeah. Pip, you were saying that the protagonist finds the antagonist evil lair?
I did.
You know what it's going to be now?
A Tower of Death.
And you know what? I think we're actually going to have been to that tower before. And before, it was a good tower.
Are you a good tower or a bad tower?
And then when the protagonist visits again, it has changed.
Changed.
Where did you get all this red paint from? Oh.
Yeah. Also, towers are just a great place to have a, you know...
A fight?
Yeah.
Fight.
Because then people can fall down them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, I will say that they make a pretty decent, what's it called, with regard to goals or tasks? Getting to the tower, getting into the tower.
Getting to the next floor of the tower?
Yeah, I mean, it's journey? They're pretty... no, like, remember our ever constant battle as to what the task might be versus themes or goals or plots. Towers are pretty convenient for coming up with them.
Yeah.
That's some very convenient plot shit you just got us. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, rolladie.net.
See, now I'm wondering what if this is just a really dark retelling of Rapunzel?
Ooh. I'm gonna make a note of that, but let's not box ourselves in, even though we have already with several things.
I mean, let's face it, this game is all about constructing a box around ourselves.
Fine.
All right, who's next?
I believe that would be me. Or if it wasn't, it is now.
I think it's you. I think I've realized my mistake in picking being the last of the four of us. God damn it. All right, go.
All right. What if I even got left?
We have complications and resolution left.
All right.
Not that it matters, right, because you're picking randomly.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Random plot generator. There's still a list on the page. Oh, wow. Okay. because one of these things I'm not going to select because it would turn it into a completely different story.
I mean, to be fair, that's also kind of your brand.
True, but it's a kind of story that is not my brand.
Okay.
Fair.
Too many happy endings.
No, knowing that creatures with tentacles have preferences for true loves, I will keep an eye out for them. No. That is not what I'm choosing.
That's my brand. Yeah.
That is your brand, not mine. I'm not choosing it.
Damn it. All right, go.
But no, what I'm going to do...
Manfully trying not to do a tentacle porn joke.
We're all very proud of you.
Thank you.
Advice for the hero. When I am forced to decide which of two identical people is the trusted ally and which is the evil doppelganger, I will stun them both and sort things out in the brig.
Oh my god. That could be great.
Oh.
Because you have the protagonist's friend who's kind of an asshole, and you have the antagonist who's definitely an asshole.
Oh my
it's
god!
Like, pew pew! Okay.
I'm glad you went that direction, though, because that's also literally a big plot point of one of our parents' books, where there's two identical wizards in a tower. And the main character has to decide which one is the real one.
Wait, and there's also the time when they figure out later that someone had gotten cloned.
Oh, shit.
Because General Matatati's aide got cloned, and then her body was found later, and they're like, wait, who's with him right now? And it's up in the air which one he shot. Because he shot one of them.
So it's good that we haven't gone far from our roots.
Yeah, look at that apple, so close to that tree.
But on the other hand, I do like Brendan's, you know, like, shit, you have to figure out which one's your real friend, etc. and so forth.
Yeah.
Of the two assholes that you've decided to befriend.
What? How small was your friend pool to have wound up with both of those guys?
Private school.
Boarding
school.
Oh, they went to Hogwarts type of school.
Here's the thing. A lot of my friends are assholes just because those are my favorite people.
So the protagonist is Pip.
They're also going to text me and yell at me.
They don't even have to text you. Ashley is the transcriptionist. She'll just write it in the transcription.
We love you, Ashley. We don't think you're an asshole.
Blame Pip.
Actually, you're my forever girl. Anyway, I am putting that under complications.
Ooh. Okay, and that leaves me with the resolution. Fuck all of you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm going to shuffle my cards again. I've taken out the page of wands so that we don't get them a second time, because that would be awkward. All right, we're going to split the deck in three. Magic.
What?
Not magic illusions.
It's an illusion. You can't even see it.
Oh, shit, guys. It's the High Priestess.
What?
Super Ooh. Hoping it was going to be death.
That would have been amazing. I was hoping for Satan, but here we all are. Okay.
Actually, that can work.
Okay, the High Priestess. Secrets, mystery, the future as yet unrevealed. The woman who interests the question asker. This one weirdly depends on whether or not our protagonist is male or female. I mean, if you want to choose non-binary, then I can just fuck around with this. But do we have an idea?
Not yet.
I've been picturing female so far, but that's just me.
I've been picturing Pip.
Yeah!
Yeah.
let's say it's Pip. In which case, the High Priestess also represents silence. Silence, Pip. Tenacity.
Fuck.
Wisdom and science.
Oh, science, Oh, wait, yeah. Library science? That's a thing.
There you go, see? It's you.
Woo!
All right, so it's resolution, secrets, mystery, the future is yet. Okay, you know what? I'm going to turn this on its fucking head. The missing heir, our antagonist, wasn't the real missing heir.
What?
It was the protagonist all along. And that's what we're going to find out.
In the resolution?
As part of the climax ending into... I feel like climax and resolution is kind of like, you know, a tetchy ground.
Actually, with resolution, that kind of... Under the description of that High Priestess, that's sequel hooks.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, she... So Pip finds out that it was her all along, and she is the mistress of death.
Yes!
I mean, that's a book already, but...
It's all I ever wanted. I mean,
if you think about it, if the antagonist never finds out, that's pretty great. If the antagonist finds out during the climax, that's pretty great.
If the antagonist finds out while there's a sword in their chest, that's pretty great.
It happens.
Or while the antagonist has a sword in their hand and the protagonist is standing right there getting in the way of all their dreams.
Well, keep in mind... we still have our kind of setting overall of having it be the deconstructed parody.
Shit.
So it's like these fantasy elements meet Archer, which I think could work.
So you were the heir all along. Yeah, I guess I was. And here I am, no longer the heir. But oh wait, I have this sword. I suddenly have an idea.
The sword says... I'm the heir.
So, okay. Everybody, we've gone through twice around. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read out what we have, just mm-hmm. so that we're all on the same page, so to speak, and the listener can keep up. So, setting/world, deconstructive parody, protagonist, true love/sidekick leads to badness. Protag's friends, page of wands, the asshole Slytherin friend. Antagonist, missing heir of death.
Yes.
Call to action, badass Santa.
Slash death.
Slash death. Complications, shoot us both, Spock. Climax, towers. Towers of death. Resolution, High Priestess. The protagonist is the mistress of death. Okay, I see that, like, clearly according to my notes, I'm really into the death thing. Brand. On brand.
Yeah.
Well, that specifically the High Priestess being, what it was like a secret revealed or something like that, right?
A secret revealed, but also, you know, secrets, mystery, the future as yet unrevealed. But also, it is a very, resolution, conclusion type of deal. You know, mm-hmm. you've gone on a journey, you've come out the other end with more knowledge, and presumably you've changed. And you've changed to, hopefully, a more complete, better, or at least different person. but it's convenient to say the priestess of death, because then that helps us, you know, instead of just using the meaning, we're like, well, you know, hey, that's some pretty great terminology. You know, let's see if we can shoehorn that in.
Okay. So... right off the bat here, I'm trying to figure out whether or not we want to have this be kind of like a high fantasy or like a more urban fantasy. I'm thinking it's fantasy overall, right? Fantasy comedy.
I was thinking high fantasy the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
I may have I may have pigeonholed us with my use of the of tough guide.
That's fair.
No, but you know what? Hell, fine.
All right, so we have high fantasy, but kind of poking fun at the cliches and tropes along the way with the parody element, so yeah. Hey.
I mean, we don't have to be sitting around pulling a Tolkien and figuring out the exact language of every species of creature and person.
Well, that's the thing with the parody element. You could have, like, random scribbles on the wall, and it's like, oh, is this Elvish? that was what my 6-year-old drew on the wall 5 years ago.
You could have the asshole Slytherin friend be like an elf, but not like one of those really sweet ones, but just be like, no.
Keep using elf slang.
It's just, it's very turning on its head Tolkien elves, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started about wood elves. You don't even want to deal with them.
Ugh.
I want them to, like, get drunk and start bar fights.
I'm just imagining the asshole friend complaining about the fact that, like, oh, God, I can never, like, walk properly in snow. I'm always dancing on top of it. God, so annoying.
Or worse, you know, find, like, not really caring, but noticing that everybody else is really pissed off about it. And so just being like, ah, yeah. Oh, nice walk today. This is, my shoes are so dry.
Look at this.
God, it's almost annoying how dry my shoes are.
What do your elf eyes see? Well,
I see an asshole.
Well, right now, my elf eyes see these glasses that I have to wear, that I've been wearing this entire time.
Oh, man, a nearsighted elf. That could be why they're an asshole.
Actually, I kind of really like that this is an elf. I'm just going to make a note of that.
Yeah?
So, asshole, Slytherin, elf friend. Because that helps us get into the deconstructive parody. If it's high fantasy, we gotta deconstruct that. I mean, but at the same time, I want to make sure that I personally do not dip too close to Terry Pratchett.
Of course, of course.
A horse.
I think Pratchett's style was more to the absurd rather than kind of like the...
His early stuff, yes. His later stuff, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
His later stuff spoke more towards truths.
Yeah. It was much more deconstructed in the few, in his later works. His earlier works were really pun dependent and therefore not my favorite.
Though he still makes puns that will wreck you in his later books, but
mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, the example, like one of the examples in deconstructed parodies was, you know, Pratchett. So yeah.
Brent, have you read the City Watch books?
No,
oh,
not
it's
yet.
The Brooklyn Nine-Nine of fantasy worlds.
Cool.
Basically, they're both amazing.
Anyway, next.
Next.
Okay, so it's kind of going through here. Let's try and workshop this. Actually workshopping,
what?
Guys. How about that?
What?
Okay. What are you guys' thoughts? I'm liking the asshole elf friend.
No, I just had a thought that if I'm the protagonist, then the asshole Slytherin friend is Ashley.
Yay! Oh my god. Makes it easier to write. Put that in my notes right here.
Oh, Ashley, I'm sorry.
Ashley, you get to be a badass elf who makes fun of everyone. Don't be mad about this. This is fantastic.
Okay.
So, now I'm thinking with the... we start out with the missing heir, not knowing that they're the missing heir, because... That's how it works.
Of course.
They and the protagonist do find out somehow. Maybe they overhear a conversation. Maybe they intercept a letter.
Ooh. Well, wait, how do people know each other? How does the protagonist know the antagonist? Ooh. Know the friends? When you said letter, though, I immediately thought it would be really, really cool if they all worked in the pseudo-fantasy version of a post office.
Actually, as you were talking about that, I was also thinking post office.
Well, courier service. I mean, it's a thing. You can have these.
Well, I was thinking because they're young, potentially. They work in the campus mail room of the Magic University.
Oh my god. I fucking love, because that deconstructs the whole concept of a fucking magical school.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's so banal.
It is.
Magic student workers.
Oh, they have magic financial aid.
I bet the magic honor board is intense.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
shit.
Oh,
my God.
The student rep on the magic board.
Okay, we have some deliveries coming in from this professor who's, you know, out on a sabbatical or whatever. And like, oh man, he always sends stuff via Griffin.
The shit gets everywhere.
I nearly lost my hand last time.
My beautiful elfin hand.
No, I think our Ashley Elf actually does the Griffin handling. I feel like she's, you know, very, very importantly dealing with the customer service end. But like the window's closed. But, like, she's at the counter, but, like, the window's closed, and they're like, no, you have to come do this. It's not even open. And she's like, no, I gotta wait for customers.
Wait. A griffin is a part cat, right? Somewhere in there?
It's, like, part lion, I think.
She wants to hang out with the lion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Maybe it's a big, mean asshole, but goddammit, she loves it.
playing to the elf stereotype, they befriend animals easily too. It's like, what? This is natural. What, humans can't do this?
Come here, little bunny friend. And we have dinner.
Oh my God.
Wow. Love it.
So, you know what I'm picturing? Mm. Like, the announcement of the heir just goes to the job title at the... Basically, it's a letter addressed to the clerk at the post office.
Yes.
And the...
No, no.
You know, the antagonist character presumes it's themselves. You know?
That's kind of like... Without the kind of thing, like, it'd be addressed to the person in question. No, I think it's a letter sent to the... sent to the headmaster, but because they're mm-hmm. like also kind of assholes, they also they're the kind of ones that read other people's mail.
Well, I mean we're making an assumption here that these are sealed letters. This is a fantasy world. We're making this shit up. Maybe it's written on the, you know, on the spine of a feather. Maybe it's, you know,
or it's like scrolls.
Yeah.
And one of the first things you learn while working in the mail room is that, you know, that wax seal, you can lift it easily.
Yeah.
Sometimes people roll up currency into it, so it's always a good idea to shake it loose.
Yes.
And these are all poor kids, and so they're like, look, we can't even afford to have mail sent to us, so...
And then, on the letter, for some means, it has to infer that it is... That the missing heir is the missing heir. We have to come up with a way to call me. Some other name for them.
Antagonist. That's, I mean, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, antagonist. Yeah, okay.
The reader included assumes it's... the antagonist, but there has to be some sort of leeway there such that our protagonist, Pippin, can kind of qualify for that as well at the final reveal. Maybe there was like a missing page or something, you know?
Or an awkwardly worded prophecy.
Here's the thing. I think that there could be a, you know, the letter to the headmaster, I think, among other things, should say, by the way, make sure you keep the heir there. But I think that our Pippin, I mean, protagonist, has imposter syndrome.
Oh, that's true.
So they are not going to automatically think of themselves as, of course, it's me. You know, whereas our antagonist is like, it makes sense. I'm an orphan. I was found here.
I've had these dreams.
I've had dreams of power. And meanwhile, you know, Pippin's like, I was an orphan too, but you know what? Probably it's because nobody loves me.
True.
The only possession they left me is this sword.
And this odd birthmark and this ring.
Oh man, the antagonist totally has like a sword that was bequeathed to them.
Yes.
Well, because, like, all the cliches and signs point to the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I was born under a star omen. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Though that's what determines my speciality here at Magic Academy, as we all know, Bob.
Of course.
He who must not be named did great things. Terrible.
But great. I like the idea that the antagonist sees this letter, is like, well, shit, clearly I should be going to this tower that no one, like, everyone's telling me I should not go to. The protagonist, because she's their friend, is like, oh, I better help them. And then and then our asshole elf is like, well, fuck, somebody's gotta keep the protagonist alive. And also, this is hilarious.
None of you assholes know how to draw.
Also, I love the idea if the elf actually is one of the people who isn't broke. They just like working in the campus mail because it helps them be an asshole better.
Oh, yeah.
So they actually are able to fund any number of things. So they're like wandering around and they, you know.
Of course. Oh, they have to, you know, request favors from the friends. It's like, take care of my bags and you can have the room at the inn for the night.
Also, when ordering booze, like, don't worry, I'm an elf. They don't card elves.
Okay, so I'm thinking that we're basically following a quest structure.
Yeah.
So this is your straight up fantasy land quest, but not straight up because we're subverting it.
Mm-hmm. Subverting and parodying. Yay!
So they have to encounter some trolls, and the trolls will be like...
The trolls just say mean things.
That's kind of overdone.
Oh, it's true.
I would love it if the trolls were actually like, you know, socialists. And, were, you know, busy trying to construct a better than Fantasyland society. But the humans are busy being like, We really love our medieval pseudo-ness.
The troll is collecting the toll on the bridge because they're trying to make better infrastructure.
Yeah, they're trying to fix the bridge.
Yes.
I'm just imagining troll bridge housing.
Actually, I was just thinking it would be really great if the trolls are busy having a slightly more advanced society in terms of technology. So little, you know, so the elf is aware, but the humans are like, we must go on horseback. We don't have horses. We must walk 3 leagues. And meanwhile, there's like a train in the distance. There's there's a steam engine chugging along. I would love if that was just showing up in the background.
A troll in a little conductor's outfit.
Aw.
Cute. Anyway.
Okay. Do we want it to have a plot coupon type situation?
What's a plot coupon?
Back in the day, when fantasy, big quest fantasies were more prevalent on the field, a plot coupon situation was where you had your characters go from this place to this place to this place to this place to this, and they collect little coupons at every part. Like, now we have the crown. We must get the sword.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When you get all the coupons, you can turn them in to get a resolution.
Listen, they need to find the keys to the tower.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if we did a plot coupon one, actually.
But then it turns out that, like, the keys don't work, and it's like shaving a haircut is
yeah.
What grants access. Kind of playing on the speak, friend, and enter.
Oh my god.
Oh.
It's like, why did we collect these keys? Asshole friend, why did you tell us to collect keys?
I like keys.
I don't know. It's funny. I like keys.
I'm scrapbooking now. I need keys. It's like, what are you scrapbooking? Your stupid face during this journey. I'm sorry, am I putting MJ again in our story?
Yep. Yep.
I
like to draw protagonists in crisis.
I'm sorry, I just really like MJ from Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's fair.
Right, so on this quest, there has to be some sort of, you know,
people of intelligence?
Well, the people who they think are the antagonists.
Oh, good call.
Mm.
We need to,
that's true.
10 baddies.
We need a misdirect.
Maybe that's where the evil doppelganger comes in.
Possibly.
Possibly, but no. Sorry, what you were saying?
I'm thinking whatever sort of government is in place is in this fantasy world.
Oh, we're talking like playing with the evil empire trope?
Yeah, like, and it turns out that they're not the evil empire, they're just an empire.
We collect taxes. Why is this an issue?
We gotta fix the bridges.
We can't let the trolls fix everything.
Sure, we're doing some pretty nasty things with our aggressive colonialism, but, you know.
Ooh, colonialism dig.
But also, we want those guys as spices, so, yeah.
In order to not use.
Digging back into your, into how the with the letter, yeah, villain-wise, there could be the assumption that the villain is whoever does not want the antagonist to take their quote-unquote rightful throne. I mean, if the antagonist was actually the heir and they weren't the antagonist, let's say they were the protagonist, then whoever was keeping them from their rightful throne would be the bad guy.
Hmm. So who would be affected by, I guess we were still saying death before, right? Death's mantle or something equivalent.
What are those things? Ring wraiths. No, you know, let's stick with death. I think death is pretty cool. And it's also not, there's a fine line when you're doing parody between, just self, between self referencing to the point of doom and actually adding in something creative and new.
We want to avoid being it. Like a movie, you know,
oh,
the
yeah.
line of movies that happened in the early aughts and were obnoxious and pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. Not another team. We tried to watch one yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then?
It was action movie. It was
disaster movie.
Good.
Ugh.
Oh, it was disaster
Ugh.
Movie? It was, we could not get longer than 5 minutes into it. It was so.
Nah.
It's
terrible.
It's not even self-referential. It was so dependent on gags that are extremely ephemeral, and it was just terrible.
And they went on too long.
So I just had an idea.
Yeah.
Not to cut off gags that go too long. So one thing we haven't talked about yet is we have an heir to death, right?
Mm. Yeah.
That implies then that death was taken out of the picture or...
Or could be at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are the greater implications when people start finding out that, oh, wait a second, we can't die.
Oh, shit. That's so fun.
Right? Like, you could have, like, mass chaos happening in the background. The characters are being kind of like Shaun of the Dead and the characters in the beginning of it and kind of oblivious to what's going on. And then, like, one of them should have died and yet didn't.
I'm filled with the idea of the characters realize this and they're like, wait, is that what's going on? And instead of like, you know, talking it to death, the elf just picks up a sword and stabs somebody. And they're like, yep.
I always wanted to stab you.
But what if death around them still works because there's the heir?
Oh, one of them's the heir. Oh.
Oh.
So it takes them a while to realize that there's something wrong.
But that could be a nice learning moment for the elf.
Oh, just like some poor bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I believe in having real feelings, and I think even our what is basically a comedy relief should be tortured. I follow Pippin on this one.
Woohoo!
Ouch. Now, I kind of like the implications of mass hysteria happening while... death is out of the picture.
But also that helps shore up at least the antagonist theory that they are in fact the heir, because around them death doesn't happen. So obviously
death does happen.
It's sorry. What's that fallacy? It's
starting from the conclusion and kind of thing.
I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
So what you're talking about is sort of like that Sherlock Holmes quote.
Which one, Pip?
That it is a capital mistake to theorize before you have all the evidence. It biases the judgment. It is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data. Insensibly, one begins to twist facts to suit theories instead of theories to suit facts.
As a matter of fact, that is exactly what I was talking about.
And that's how we can tell that they're a bad guy. They do not read Sherlock Holmes.
What the hell, guy? What the hell?
Not that I read Sherlock Holmes, but at least I
read Sherlock Holmes.
I have watched some of the movies.
Wow.
Wow.
Come at me.
No, Pip, you actually have, we have better, history than that. Remember, on car trips, as we were growing up, we listened to the, radio adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starting Basil Rathbone and whoever Watson was. Nigel Bruce.
Thinking about it, I think I have listened to Hound of the Baskerville at the very least. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so death is not missing. The heir is with them, but it's not who they think.
Yes.
But they don't really realize that there's an issue. I would love the idea if they're like really self-involved in their quest and there's all this shit going on around them.
Oh, I just had a really hilarious scene play out in my head.
Yeah.
Where you have like somebody standing on top of like a clock tower or something. It's like, guys, no one can die. And he just jumps off thinking he's going to be totally okay.
And they walk past and they're like, oh man, crazies in the city. Am I right?
Man, what's with the drug problem here? I am a golden god.
I had my own thought, different than yours.
Uh-huh.
Because we still haven't worked the doppelganger thing in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Well, it's a complication, yeah.
But what if that's when they figure it out that there's two of them? One of them is real and the other one isn't. The true heir.
Oh.
And then suddenly, the friend is the one who has to go, what? And has to figure out what's actually happening. And has to contain them both before one of them does something dumb. Or both
I would love
them.
It if the Pippin character, I'm sorry, the protagonist, I would love it if she was very much like, I'm pretty sure it's not me, guys. And meanwhile, the antagonist keeps trying to stab her.
Yeah, that sounds like something that would happen to me.
Yeah.
Well, then you're just like, I'm going to stab you in self-defense now, not because I think I'm the heir. And so it gets just really complicated.
So we have to be sent to our separate corners.
And the elf is like, guys.
You're being really obnoxious.
I like if the elf likes the protagonist slightly better and it's like, look, you're being kind of idiot.
Or the elf is the one who's actually been paying attention in class. So can go,
That's right, they go to class.
Yeah.
Fuck, I forgot.
Remember, these are college students. They are maybe grad students if we like them, and even then, grad students.
Anyway.
Yeah, so have we covered sort of all the things? Still sort of, you know, loose, but have we covered everything?
Well, I mean, there's still plot things that need to happen. But on the other hand, once you start getting a structure in there, which, you know, even jokingly, we're doing plot coupons.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so I think that actually we're in a pretty good position here. And a lot of this will have to come out of, you know, the process of writing.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, need to create scenes to happen.
Exactly. Although we are missing one very crucial thing, you guys.
Oh?
The title.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Oh, the title. Shit.
Yeah, I feel we need a crown somewhere in the title.
All right, so a title.
Okay.
So fun words that mean death. Demise?
Mort? Do we want to do death? Do we want to do towers? Do we want to do both? There's Death's Tower.
Mm. Well, we still have to convey that it's going to be humorous, too, is the trick.
Yeah.
Also, we need to convey that there's that someone at the end of this is getting, is being royalty of some sort, or inheriting.
Mm. Inheriting death.
It doesn't have to be a comedic title in and of itself.
Yeah.
Maybe not a downer title, but remember, I mean, if you think about, you know, again, Airplane was not, you know, that's not in and of itself a funny title. You know, Hogfather is not in and of itself a funny title. Although apparently if you add an exclamation point, that is pretty funny.
I'm sorry, I just thought of an awful pun.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, go.
Mortriculation?
That's awful.
Oh.
I told you.
And I'm writing it down, but no.
I told you.
It seems like it'd be like a subtitle, like A Tale of Morticulation.
There's Crown of Demise. Fuck you, that's an awesome title.
All right, I'll write it down.
No, I'm just...
Okay, so we want to get a high fantasy feel.
On the Shoulders of Death.
That's awesome, but I think too hardcore.
Because I was thinking of the quote, on the shoulders of giants, which is how we get an education.
Aw. Well, wait. Ivory Tower.
I feel like that's already something else.
Are you well, yeah, I mean, that's what you call a learning institution. But they're not staying around the school, though.
Mm.
So if they were staying at the school, that would be awesome.
But. Yeah. We should also totally look up some, like, heavy metal album covers and see what their names are.
Grim something. Grim Crowns.
Grim Crowns, Grim Travel, Grim Quest. Oh, that sounds a bit too...
Grim Quest isn't a game on your phone.
All right, let's get Quest out of there. Grim is kind of neat, though.
Because Grim Reaper, Grim Crowns. Yeah.
Yeah. Grim Crowns. Is that... Did you already say that?
Yeah, I did. That's what I led with.
You know what? I'm kind of liking that.
Pip L, what do you think?
Yeah, it has a...
There's that. I was... thinking maybe Grim Summer or something, but Grim Crown.
Grim Summer sounds like that does sound like a road trip movie. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, but also sounds like somebody has cancer.
Oh. By John Green.
Grim Summer by John Green.
Oh.
You know what? I like Grim Crowns. I'm feeling that because it's got it's got the fantasy vibe. It does cover both death and the air thing. It doesn't give away the plot. It's not a stupid pun, Pip.
What?
It's not.
I told you it was bad before I said it.
We can have one of our editor friends provide a quote for the inside of the book cover that nobody reads.
Yes.
And they'll be like, oh, it's a tale of morticulation.
All right, so if you guys aren't feeling Grim Crowns, what are you feeling?
I'm imagining the cover art.
The cover art would be fucking amazing.
Like there are two crowns. One is like all spiky and menacing, and the other is simple, like a more of a coronet.
Actually, wait, that's a good point.
A crown of a carpenter.
Oh my god, Grim Crowns does suggest that there are two different.
Well,
crowns.
That could be part of the climax, right? The resolution is that, you know, it's like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Gotta pick the right cup.
Actually, the cover art I was thinking is if there was like this badass crown, like really large along the bottom of the cover, and then sort of standing within it are the three characters.
There's the crown, and then the tower, like, emerging from it.
That's a dick.
Fuck you. No.
But I do like the idea of the crown of the tower being in the background. I like the idea of the tower being in the background behind them.
Also, it doesn't have to be Grim Crowns. It could just be Grim Crown. And
we could be Grim Crown. You know what? Let's make it so that there's more than one crown. Fuck it. I think Grim Crowns is a better title than Grim Crown.
Oh, and then, like, there's, like, scattered on the ground, like change.
Because, like, it could be the final test, you know, at the top of the tower.
Oh, pick... And, in fact, it's the wooden one, because Death was a carpenter. Actually, you know what? I have to say, actually, that's a pretty decent gag to put into a parody book.
Yeah, like,
of course.
Because it's just left field enough.
And they sit there like, okay, what do you know enough about Death to say that's his crown? Well, that one's...
The wood was once alive.
Yeah, but it's...
Ooh.
Oh, like, it could be like the climactic moment when the protagonist starts believing in herself. And it's like she's following the hunch of like, wait, the wooden crown used to be alive.
Guys, yeah. Actually, this is going to be really brand for Pip. So the antagonist picks the crown of bones, but the protagonist picks the flower crown.
I do own a flower crown.
But flowers are alive, but dead. Because when you cut them, they're dead. It's like the ultimate, but it's also very Pip.
Well, because Death is a harvester. That's why he carries a scythe.
Oh, it's a hay crown.
Which means, in fact, it is a crown of thorns. Oh no, it was Brandon again. It's a wooden cup all over again.
On brand for me again.
Okay. So we have a title, working title. Anything else? Any final thoughts?
I'm really glad we didn't do the Rapunzel dark retelling.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's a different story.
I got a question for the group. Who's writing it?
Ooh.
Well, it can't be me. It's too close.
Oh.
But Kat.
Too close to home.
Kat, all of your protagonists are already me, so really.
That's true. Oh, Pip. I'm sorry.
I'm awesome. I can't deny it.
And I do give you all the best banter. Yeah, I hate to say it, guys, unless one of y'all want it.
How about we just keep it open and whoever starts writing it, starts writing it. We don't have to tie ourselves down with expectations and the fact that we already have other projects that we've already said, like, oh, we want to write this.
Except I really do want to write this.
You say that about everything.
That's true.
Well, wait, that's not true. I did not want to write your book. And I also don't want to write Pip's or Alex's.
Huh.
I think I learned something today.
How dare you? What is wrong?
I want to read your version, Pip. And I stand by that. I have closed my notebook.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because I think we're done with this.
How about that?
Closing the book on this episode.
All right, so hey Pip, can you take us out now?
Okay. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred, or send us an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Creighton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, to everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we will talk about the first two episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, Encounter at Farpoint. Because it's going to be our anniversary.
Aww.
And our first episode was Star Trek Into Darkness.
And we're nerds.
We're like Into Dorkness.
Yeah. Brennan and I went for the same joke. Woo!
And we figure we'll go back to that tried and true well of Star Trek. Because that's just who we are as people.
And that well is deep.
So deep. And yeah, also so shallow.
Oh.
Super proud of myself, you guys. Until then, where no story is sacred and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're
No Story Sacred.